From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
This Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready back in the Clark Ford studio. Neil's house starting to get over the sickness a little bit. I don't think Mr. McCready feels great, but podcast today, we're going to have an extended visit with Hugh Kellenberger, sports editor and columnist for the Clarion Ledger. We're going to talk a good bit of basketball, the FBI thing, Ole Miss potential options for head coach. We're going to delve into the Mississippi State Andy Cannizzaro situation, as Will Salmon and Hugh's department have done a really good job trying to keep that public, get some answers to questions that John Cohen does not want to answer. We also hit up some women's basketball on both sides of the state rivalry there, and more. So long visit with Hugh here in a bit. He was good. We hope you hang around and listen to that in a minute on the Oxford Exxon Podcast, a show that is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon. And you can get that bottomless refill. I've been telling you about it. Just 49 cents to go in, keep your cup, fill it all the way up to the top, and have a fountain drink by your side with all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. Get the plate lunches, $4.99, the ribs at night, and much more. So the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number, you tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's not haggling. You just get a great quote, get it quickly, and then it's up to you. Ball's in your court. You can shop it around, try to get a better quote, or you can go ahead and take our word for it and take the word of so many other podcast listeners who have purchased from Clark Ford. Let Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. We'll make it even better at the end of your deal. Mention any of our family of podcasts. Jay Tate and I are taping a Greatest Pod in the South presented by Cathead Distillery a little later this morning. Then Russell Johnson's going to step into the Clark Ford Studios later this afternoon for a Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. You can mention those. You can mention the Beer Garden. You can mention this podcast, any of the above. $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Last night, Ole Miss beats Murray State in baseball 7-6. They got behind 4-0 in the first inning. End up tying it in the fifth with a three-run double by Thomas Dillard. Got just enough pitching. Murray State took another lead in the eighth, but Ole Miss scored one in the eighth, one in the ninth on a walk-off wild pitch to win and beat the rain and extra innings, which on a Tuesday night, that was kind of nice. Appreciated that. So Ole Miss 7-6 over Murray State. The Rebels 8-0 to complete their homestand. They head to Long Beach State on Friday to face some temperatures that are not going to be what you'd expect from Southern California. Going to be the highs in the 50s, rain expected on Friday night out on the West Coast. So Ole Miss will be out there. We'll have coverage of that, obviously. But they beat Murray State, complete their homestand, and win a game that a lot of past years you kind of get down 4-0 on that midweek on a Tuesday for a road trip and go, ah, the hell with it. And they found a way.
It's going to shock you. I know something about this game.
Okay.
I thought a key moment, and this is obvious, but I thought it was a key character moment for this team.
Did you listen to this game?
I listened to some of it.
Okay.
They're down. It was either 7-6 or 8-7. I can't remember.
The final was 7-6. They'd have been down 6-5.
Okay. It was the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And Murray had scored with two outs to take the lead.
They did.
And Ole Miss, first two hitters were retired. I can't remember how, and it doesn't matter. And Kessinger came up.
Mm-hmm.
And he drew a walk and immediately stole second base, and they got a key hit when they had to have a hit. I think it was Ryan Olenek.
It was.
And made it 6-6. I think the next guy, the Fortes, I think he grounded out to third.
Yeah, inning over, inning finished.
But it would be easy in that moment. Two out, nobody on.
Rain coming down.
Rain starting to fall. It was kind of cold because I was outside in it. It would be easy for guys to go, hey, you know what? We're 7-0. It's cool. Yeah, we're going to lose a game here and there. Ain't no big deal. Nobody's going undefeated in this deal. We're going to California in a couple of days. Let's get out of here. And instead, they grinded out an at-bat, stole a base, regressive. I just thought that was a kind of a key moment. And then even the pickoff in the top of the ninth was big. I haven't seen this team. I'm if you're taking my word for anything on this, shame on you for being an idiot. But it does kind of have a feel that they've grown up some in a year.
Yeah, they lose this game last year. There's no doubt.
They absolutely
probably get beat like 7-2.
Well, they don't. Yeah, they don't come back. And then once Murray
goes ahead again,
takes that lead in the eighth, they go, "That's not our night." Because last year, Kessinger rolls over a ball 2-0, and it's a ground out, and he's
inning over,
and they lose. And this time, he stood there. He was patient, drew the walk. You've talked about his patience at the plate, and then you know, Olenek waits and gets his pitch. He wasn't overly aggressive in the at bat, and in fact, I think he took a strike on the first pitch. You know, it was patient, waited for his pitch, and then got something he could hit and drove it into left for the run.
Yeah, I think it was 2-1.
It was either 1-1 or 2-1. Yeah. And you know, I just thought those were signs of maturity that from a year ago, guys would have tried to do too much.
Yeah, the two things. Number one, they took advantage of some luck, which has to happen to win games, to make comebacks. Just throughout a season, you're going to have luck go against you, and you're going to get luck. It's how you kind of process that luck into something tangible is what makes a team. And they're late in the game. The shortstop for Murray, who'd been really good, he gets a double play ball that would have not allowed the winning run or not allowed the inning to continue to that point. And instead, he kind of bobbles it. They get the guy to second, and then you get the hit later that does some things. And that I thought was big. And then Murray was there ready to get more additional runs, I guess, in the eighth. It's all kind of running together. They took the lead. Or maybe it wasn't in the – I don't know. Anyway – they finish the inning because they get a 3-4-1 put out to finish the inning. Not always going to happen. You got to get a little luck to get a 3-4-1 put out. The ball ricocheted off the first baseman. I think it was maybe Jacob Adams at that point. Might have been Servideo. I don't remember. Kept running, played it deep in the hole, and then threw to the pitcher covering first base. So a little bit of a fortune there for Ole Miss. But they took advantage of that. And then Houston Roth, everybody talked about – and giving up the first four runs in the first inning. He walks a guy, gives up a hit, three-run bomb, three batters in, 3-0. There's another double, and it's 4-0, and everything's not going well. He strands a couple runners, though. He gets out of that inning with two straight outs, and then from that point on, faces the minimum through five innings. I think he retires 13 of 14 following the runs. And, look, for a sophomore, you're getting beat up by a fairly bad team. That thing could go in the tank fast. He found a way to regroup, save the bullpen, too.
Maturity.
And last five innings to kind of keep them in it a little bit.
Maturity.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't get out of the first last year. Surely doesn't come back in the second and start dropping the hammer on him.
Yeah, suddenly five innings, there, four runs.
You're out there eating innings at that point because you're thinking, hey, I probably lost us the game in the first inning. But I'm going to go eat some innings. In Major League Baseball, you see it all the time. A starter will give up five runs in the first and – he'll give us six innings and they still lose, you know, 7-2. But you look back and you went, boy, that was a big outing because you're going to lose baseball games. I mean, I'm breaking. Ole Miss is not going 56-0. They're going to lose baseball games. And saving a bullpen and being able to allow your coach / manager, whatever term you want to use and for it, to have some flexibility late is good.
Because going to the West Coast, we're going to have to really pitch well this weekend. You did not need to go to the bullpen in the second inning. That was not what they needed last night.
Yeah, no. I mean, you start using guys and stressing guys, then it has a cumulative effect over the course of a season.
Because they already still had to use Etheridge, and they had to go to some guys anyway, but it could have been.
Nobody had a long, huge outing.
No.
You guys got some work that probably needed some work. Now they have a couple of days off before they pitch again.
Yeah, Long Beach State last night. They're actually really scuffling, but that schedule's so tough. I don't know really what to make of it at this point. I know they've got a big-time arm on Friday. They play Arizona State again tonight at home. Yesterday, they played Arizona State and lost 1-0. So 1-0 loss to Arizona State yesterday in Long Beach. Arizona State's only 4-4 in the season. Arizona State scored a run in the top of the first, and that was the only run the rest of the game. 1-0 with a run in the top of the first. Long Beach State had four hits, held Arizona State to six hits, probably a pretty quick game, looking for a start time. Wow. 1-0 game still went 2 hours and 40 minutes last night.
Wow.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Kind of wonder what happened. 10 total hits, only one run, but Long Beach State now 2-6 on the season. It's a series Ole Miss needs from a winning standpoint. I mean, like we said, Long Beach's RPI is going to be okay. They've played really good teams. They've lost 2 weekend series to St. Mary's and TCU, but Ole Miss needs to win. They don't need to go over there and lose that one with the Dirtbags sitting at 2-6 when or either 3-6 or 2-7 as they come in. Auburn got a big win last night, going to South Owl and winning 7-6. Auburn is 9-0 on the season. It's good for RPI, good for everybody. Auburn's got a chance, if Casey Mize stays healthy, to make a jump and contend a little bit and be a meaningful team here under Butch Thompson. So kind of curious at them as this thing moves forward, but they win yesterday. That was probably the keynote win in the league, and then LSU avoided catastrophe. They were losing to Grambling in the 6th-7th inning yesterday, but did come back and win that one. In the SEC, Furman beat South Carolina. Carolina's dropped a couple in a row. Let's see. Anybody else lose in the league? Not looking like it. No, just a one loss yesterday for Carolina in the SEC. Neil, we'll go to Kellen Berger in a few minutes. Let's see, women's basketball in a couple days. Men's still a ways away. I know spring started yesterday. You can get coverage at rebelgrove.com. It's sort of been a bit of a lull time considering there's coaching searches and more coming on. This 48-hour period's kind of dead right here.
These next 48 hours, yeah.
It's kind of yesterday, today. It's just sort of, yeah. It's a little lull in things, it feels like.
Yeah. There was a lot of football stuff. A lot of baseball. Some basketball. Russell's had recruiting. What do you want, Chase?
I'm just
got a feeling the next couple weeks is not going to be much of a lull.
What'd you make of Matt yesterday?
Getting more and more comfortable in that role. Focused. No nonsense.
Prepared for press conferences.
He actually does really well in press
conferences. Knows exactly what he's going to say when he goes in, has some talking points. And
I love how he does the injuries. Just tell us.
It's great.
It's not nuclear physics. Just tell us. And he does. And it answers how long guy's going to be out.
He started his press conference yesterday with who's out all of spring, who's out some of spring, and who's changed positions. He covered that in an intro without anyone having to ask. Here's what you want to know. Here, I'll tell you. Now, ask whatever else you'd like to ask moving forward.
He's very good for a
He has young, a very NFL approach to press conferences.
Which I'm a giant fan of.
Yeah.
Quick. It's more efficient.
As spring should be. It's just, hey, let's put some players out there and see what they can do. I'm not worried about systems and crap right now.
He talked about how it's about the players and not the plays. No, it was refreshing, honestly, and I'm not
admitted true places where they have to get better. Said he's worried about some offensive line depth for the spring, at least.
Yeah, worried about getting through the spring because they're not. Let's face it, they're not going out there and throwing Greg Little in a bunch of stuff where he could get hurt. I mean, you know what Greg Little can do. You know what, you know what Javon Patterson can do. You don't need to get those guys injured in spring. You need to find out what younger players can do. That's the kind of stuff. And I think he's far less worried about what people think than his predecessor.
In what way?
Okay, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Opening the practice Saturday.
Yep.
It's going to be pretty vanilla, but not because they're worried about scouts in the arena. I think it's going to be because they're just trying to find out what guys can do. They're trying to develop some guys. I don't think they're going to be concerned about doing a bunch of stuff that sends the fans scurrying back to the message board talking about stuff. I think he's just going to coach his football team. I think there's a lot less mind games. There's less paranoia. And it's not like I'm being critical I'm not really. I just think there's a difference.
Compared to Freeze.
Yeah. Well, compared to a lot. Compared to Nutt. No, it was very concerned about what everybody thought. Paranoid.
Six practices for the big break, then nine more. Get 15.
Yeah, I mean, you know, six practices and then eight practices, and then you do what every other coach in the country does for a spring game, and let's just do the minimal and get done. Because that's on TV, and people are going to look at it, and you don't want to get anybody hurt on April the 7th. You really don't. So you just – most coaches, I think – I can't say whether this includes Matt or not, but most coaches, I think, and by the time they get to the end of the spring, especially if they've had an uneventful spring, they would turn the spring game into a water balloon fight if they could get away with it.
Yeah. Let's all go get some pizza.
Yeah, let's have a pizza party right here. We've done well. I've got stuff on film we can look at, we can show people, we can work on. We're good. Let's move. Let's go forward. Let's not, with the uniforms on and adrenaline pumping just a little bit more, blow somebody's knee out. Let's just get out. Let's get done. Take a couple of days, then get into the weight room and get moving.
Well, because it's a little different, too, now with official visits being where they are. But in a lot of ways, the end of spring's kind of a period all the way around. You've gotten out healthy if you have. There's a bit of a break. You're going to have some meetings for the summer and different things. But it's a very low-key – it's the most low-key time of the year for that college football coach.
It is. I went to the practice yesterday. I was there for a little over – well, not quite. I was there for about an hour. First 12 periods were open. I stayed for almost all of that. I had to get Carson to soccer, so he was with me. It was one of those deals where I watched linebackers, kind of asked some questions a little bit. They just – it's striking how much the previous staff got away from size-speed ratio. How much they got away from people who could run.
Speed's the issue.
Oh, it's a major issue. They've got a couple of guys, Josh Clark, Zakirian Baker, who they think can run. Now, those guys have to learn. Those guys have to be able to be physical. They just don't have the size-speed ratio linebacker on campus. They've got to go. It's critical, this 19 recruiting class. They had to get linebackers in this last class. Those guys weren't there yesterday, obviously. And they've got to get linebackers in this 19 class. They've got to rebuild that position. And then I watched running backs, and Phillips is, you know, not full go. Just amazing how they're that thin there. They're loaded at receiver. I mean, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, those guys are phenomenal. I liked Corral.
Okay.
I didn't see him throw the deep ball. Not because he didn't do it, but because what I saw, they were – you can't watch everything at one time.
So you're watching some intermediate stuff.
I'm not good enough to do that, but I was watching his intermediate stuff. He can spin it now. Someone said you can't use the word velocity with throwing. I don't know why. Scientifically, it's an inaccurate term. I don't care. The ball moves. He has more pace on his throws.
Speed.
Than some other.
He goes faster than –
Yeah, I mean, you watch pitchers, and you can tell that a guy throws harder than another guy. The ball gets to the plate faster than it does from another guy. Has some explosiveness. His intermediate stuff, it gets to the receiver, and you better have your hands ready because he'll pop you.
The definition of velocity is the speed of something in a given direction.
So why couldn't you use velocity for pitching or throwing? I don't know. I hate to send us down this rabbit hole.
In general use, speed.
Okay. Well, he has velocity on his throws.
I don't understand.
And Tamu continues to look more comfortable as a quarterback, I thought. They were running Faneuil with the second team for a while. I couldn't. It's early. I'm not making sweeping judgments on the first practice of spring in shorts.
Three definitions on dictionary.com for velocity. Rapidity of motion or operation, swiftness, speed. Mechanics, the time rate of change of position of a body in a specified direction. That one's a little more complicated. The rate of speed of which something happens. Rapidity of action or reaction. It feels like it fits, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does to me.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. Again, a couple promos right now for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's when you give them a call. You get a $50 discount on a pressure washing job over 2,000 square feet, or you get free pressure washing of the driveways and sidewalks at your home. you sign an annual contract. MasterCut 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com, and give them a call today.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site, HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Send him an email. It's ha@HarryAlexander.com. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. They have excellent business insurance policies as well. Same goes for rental properties. If you are in the need for any of those things or any other insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, give Romero Miller State Farm a call. It's 662-893-1212. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, whether that's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, those kinds of things, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. Rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
Now we'll go to Hugh Kellenberger on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
Hugh, thanks for spending some time with us here this morning. I'll start with basketball because for a number of reasons, that's the hot topic. We'll start on the court. Well, I'll get to Ole Miss in a second. Mississippi State had a big opportunity last night with in terms of NCAA stuff. Tennessee pops them. I think Tennessee's the best team in the league. I've thought that for a while. But regardless, for State, in your opinion, does that sort of make it where State, to get in, they're going to have to win the thing in St. Louis?
I don't know if they have to win the thing. They may be in the same position that Ole Miss was in 2013, where you got to get to the last day. And it's not a number of wins problem. They have plenty of counting wins. They're going to finish in the top half of the league. They can finish with 10 SEC wins. The problem is they just don't have any wins that you go, that's a quality win. They have three quadrant one wins at this point, and they're all against kind of that bottom end of quadrant one. So they have to win enough games in St. Louis to get to the point where they're going to have opportunities to win games that would impress somebody. That's their problem.
Why did they put that schedule together? I know that this has been asked for months now. That schedule was just, it's atrocious early. They didn't play anyone. It was almost as if they're the only team in the league. I mean, you look at the bad teams in the league, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, they played good schedules. They're the only team in the league that made no apparent concerted effort to schedule anyone. Why was that?
There's never really been like a real explanation for it. And like the funny part was that while they were in it, Ben Howland kept on insisting that these were good teams they were playing.
Yeah, I know.
There's some bad luck in there, right? Like Stephen F. Austin was a great team 2 or 3 years ago when that series was probably scheduled. Well, they're not anymore. Like that happens. But like to not play anybody that's in any respectable basketball league outside of Cincinnati, I mean, that team has, you know, worked their asses off to get to a point where they're in NCAA tournament consideration. He hurt them because if they had better opportunities in November and December, it's a different conversation now. It's as simple as that.
You're down at APSE. I'm curious how much buzz is there down there about this whole FBI investigation into college basketball, the stories that broke over the weekend, the veracity of Mark Schlabaugh's story about Sean Miller, all that stuff. How much is that being talked about?
A pretty good amount. This is more of a like pro sports Winter Olympics kind of crew, but among like the college people, any conversation with any buddy that's in our business now, what's going to happen with this?
All right, you covered Indiana for a while as a beat writer years ago. You've covered Ole Miss as a beat writer. You've covered, my point is, you've covered a lot of Power Six college basketball. None of that was surprising to you, right? And I mean, there was there anything at all that you heard Friday, Saturday that made you say, wow?
No. The only thing that surprised me was the Sean Miller on the wiretap. That was the only thing that surprised me, because the wild, wild west of college basketball, everybody has known about for years. But generally speaking, you assumed that the head coaches were smart enough to keep it at arm's distance and make sure that they weren't directly involved. You know, it's the, you know, Patino and those guys. How did they survive for so long? Is because you could never nail them down. There were escorts and strippers in the dorm. Well, I didn't do it. It was that rogue guy making $25,000 that was doing it. You know, that sort of stuff. But like the total whatever that, like, I mean, people think football recruiting is dirty. It has nothing on college basketball. Nothing. There's more money because of the shoe companies, and there's less kids for it to go around to, so it's more per kid.
It's a simple supply and demand thing. Right. I mean, it's supply side economics.
You know, remember how much we talked about it with Malik Newman? It was that Malik Newman was a shoe free agent, which made him different than everybody else. You know, Antonio Blakeney a couple of years ago decommitted from Louisville to LSU after like 10 days. Why did he do it? Because his Nike AAU coach didn't want him going to an Adidas school. Well, what do you think got convinced Antonio Blakeney to change his mind?
Just a strong recruiting pitch about the opportunities academically at LSU.
Well, listen, anytime you have the opportunity to be coached by Johnny Jones, that's something you can't pass up.
There's no question. And they have a strong economics program. It's excellent. Really is one of the more underrated kind of business schools in the country. All right, where does this thing go? I mean, your opinion. You've seen it. You've been reading about it. Today's the last day of February, which means the calendar is going to turn to March tomorrow. March belongs typically to college basketball. If you want to make a splash, even more of a splash journalistically, or if you're the FBI and you want to make an even bigger splash, you drop bombs in March. And here we are. So what do you sort of anticipate over the next couple of weeks?
What I'm looking for is what other head coaches get directly implicated. Like Tom Izzo is not getting fired because Mikal Bridges took $500. It's just not happening. Like, come on. But Sean Miller's not going to be the head coach at Arizona.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I would not be surprised if there are, you know, one to three other really well-known top 40 program nationally head coaches that have the same thing. And the interesting part about this is it ain't that hard to figure out who, like, Pete Thamel's source is on this, you know?
Oh, there's no question about that. Yeah.
The FBI clearly does not have it. Yeah. The FBI clearly does not have enough to pursue charges. And so they are shaking the limbs using the media. And so all bets are off in terms of what they drop, because that's their game plan.
A lot of scuttle that there is an Adidas-centric story or charges coming, another wave of this stuff that is Adidas specific. Do you sense that there's any concern? Mississippi State's one of those Adidas schools. I mean, I think the school that is most in the crosshairs is Kansas, and that's obvious. But do you sense any concern there regarding what's coming?
No, I not in Mississippi State. I think what it is, I think if you're at any school in the country now that dealt with Adidas or deals with any of the shoe companies and you recruit on a national level at all, you have to be worried, right? You have to do your due diligence. You have to figure out what's going on. I don't think Mississippi State's any different in that regard. But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm curious about, to see if, you know, Louisville is a blue blood program, but it's a lot like Arizona. It's that next level blue blood program because it's won a lot, but it doesn't have that like crystal clear image of, you know, this is who we hold up as one of the sports greats. It's not a Duke. It's not a North Carolina. It's not a Kansas. you know, and what does it say about the sport if, you know, Kansas gets in the crosshairs? Then you're talking about, like, all right, so North Carolina had academic fraud, Louisville, Arizona, and Kansas maybe all, you know, were, you know, had coaches pop for firing, you know, for kids getting paid. Like, it's just a whole stain on the sport.
The Ole Miss plays a week from tonight. They'll play in St. Louis in either the 6 o'clock game, the 8:30 game. Maybe they win it. Maybe they don't. If they do win on Wednesday, they're going to lose on Thursday. In other words, this thing's going to end in the next 8 days or so. A really bad season for that program. Andy Kennedy has already stepped down, as you know. Tony Madlock has about as much chance as you and I do of getting the head coaching job. What do you hear on the Ole Miss job? And in your opinion, where is that job today, and how much does this scandal that's out there, and like you said, the FBI is clearly shaking the limbs. Coaches are scared. AAU people are scared. The amount of cheating, at least temporarily, is going to go down. Does that level the playing field enough for Ole Miss to be a more attractive job than it would have been otherwise?
Not significantly. Because I think it's still going to have the same problem of, like, any – it seems like just about every Mississippi kid has ties to Mississippi State. And they may not be going to Mississippi State, but they're not going to Ole Miss. That's a line Andy Kennedy once told me about Rodney Hood is his mom went to Mississippi State, his dad went to Mississippi State. He may not be going to Mississippi State, but they're not letting him come to Ole Miss. Memphis, same deal. This job – I think is still the job where you're going to have to out coach people, recruit and develop and identify talent. It's hard for me to find a time period in the near future when, like, you know, Ole Miss is looking through the top 100 recruit list and going, all right, we want these guys. I don't see that happening.
So Kermit Davis, Steve Forbes, either one of those guys, in your opinion, do they move the meter?
I don't get the impression that there's a lot of juice behind Steve Forbes' name. I could be wrong. I just don't, you know, I'm not hearing his name a lot. Kermit Davis, to me, I think you got to worry about the whole, you know, NCAA stuff going back. Was it A&M or something? You know, answer me this. Is Kermit Davis just kind of an older Andy Kennedy? Can really coach? Okay, recruiter.
Oh, I think that's more than fair.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair.
You know?
I mean, he's a really good coach. He's done a good job at Middle Tennessee, there's no doubt. But I don't know that Kermit Davis, does he move the meter in terms of tickets? And this isn't fair to him probably, but he's upper 50s. I don't know
he's
that
not even up, yeah, he's late 50s, almost 60.
Yeah, I don't know that he shakes the things up that much. And here's the truth about both Forbes and Davis. They're going to roster build the exact same way that Andy Kennedy roster built. They're identical. They're absolutely identical methods of roster building. They're gonna fish the transfer market. They're gonna have to hit JUCOs here and there. They're going to look for kids that slip through the cracks. And this isn't a knock on Andy or on Forbes or Davis. They've all made a lot of money coaching basketball. Kudos to them. But I don't know that those two guys are so significantly different than Andy that the differences on the court will necessarily be obvious. And then more importantly, and I think this is critical right now, you haven't been up here in a little while for games. The environment right now is I won't say it's akin to a funeral, but it's akin to something close. There's no atmosphere. There's no enthusiasm. They've got to shake that up because you've got to sell tickets. You've got to get people excited about it. And I don't think Kermit Davis does that. I don't know about Forbes. And then I don't know if you don't go that route, I don't really know who's in it. You know, I mean, you go, like, I heard Grant's name, the coach at College of Charleston. I heard that name a little bit over the weekend. He seems to be a solid coach. He was, you know, on the Clemson staff for a while. He's been with Greg Marshall for 6 years at Winthrop and then at Wichita State. So, I mean, he's got the chops, but he will draw comparisons unfairly. If he were to get it, he will draw comparisons unfairly to Rick Ray right off the bat, and I don't know that he moves the meter. So many Ole Miss people are hung up on Mike White, and I understand that. Mike's a dynamic coach. He's young. He's an Ole Miss guy. All of that stuff, he's taken Florida to the Elite Eight. They're going back to the tournament. There's no doubt about that. Mike would obviously shake it up. He would move the meter. He would make it exciting. He would sell tickets. And maybe he would have a different result on the floor. But I'm not sure that I think Mike is realistic at all. I mean, I think there might be – there's a chance. No. But the chance is so small that I don't think you can wait on it.
No, I don't think you wait on it. I think if you're looking to make – there's one name out there that, like, makes a splash and I think gets Ole Miss fans excited, and it's Tom Crean. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of that because I've done the Tom Crean show, and I wouldn't be excited to do it again. But like, that's the one name, right? Like, been to a Final Four, coached Dwayne Wade, has a bunch of IU dudes in the NBA, guys like Victor Oladipo that were three-star nothing recruits that, you know, became NBA All-Stars after, you know, Cody Zeller. Like, Tom is enthusiastic. He has energy. Like, if that's what you're going for, if you're Ross Bjork, like, the move, you know, and he's available right now.
Yeah.
You know, so the move is to go, hey, Tom, here's what we can do contract wise. Let's get this done conference championship week.
He does
you
make.
Know, we're going to lose Wednesday night, Thursday afternoon. Friday afternoon, we're announcing you're our new head coach. But I don't know if I don't know if he wants it. He's never coached in the South before, if you don't count Western Kentucky. And number two, like, you know, he may want to see what goes on with Pitt.
Take a break of our talk with Hugh to take the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also a leader in condo financing in Oxford. And you asked Jason about the float down option. Allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Gambrell & Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you are in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan is the place to go. They've got all the new 2018s, great deals on previously owned Nissans, super lease deals as well. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Now back to Hugh Kellenberger on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Put any stock behind Thad Mata?
I think Thad's health concerns are real.
Yeah.
A back issue. Those are bad.
Yeah, it's not the man can still coach. But like, back issues, like, that's lifestyle changes, and coaching is not an easy recruiting is not an easy lifestyle.
No, you got to sit in gyms in Georgia and Vegas and Kansas and all of those places. You got to sit in gyms on bleachers all day long in the summer. You've got to be visible. It's brutal.
Well, flying physically cross country thing. Yeah. Overnight, right? It's flying cross country. Yeah, right. Right. I got it. I had to go to Orlando to watch this kid, but there's a kid playing in Kansas City at 9, and I'm getting on this private plane to fly there and get in another rental car. Yeah, it's a grind.
Let's switch gears a little bit to this baseball story that I find absolutely fascinating. Mississippi State accepts the resignation of, however you want to determine it, of Andy Cannizzaro 1 weekend into the season. There's already been a report that he had an extramarital affair with another athletics department employee. We are, I don't know, 10 days removed or so from it, and state has not addressed this at all. Not even a little bit in terms of a press conference, a press gathering. You guys had a story yesterday. I thought it was terrific. Will Salmon wrote it where addressed the silence and pointed out the questions that you guys have submitted to Mississippi State. I guess offering them an opportunity to answer them in written form. Where does that stand? And what was the reaction to that story for you guys, for the CL yesterday?
Yeah, that was basically, those questions were like the last step, right? Like you spend a week trying to get it through all the conventional means, trying to convince them, hey, you need to talk, trying to, you know, be where they're, you know, they're going to be and all those things. And that was like the last draw, right? Where you say, hey, this is what I got. You got till this to answer these or I'm going. And so they didn't answer. And so we went with just the questions because they're fair and legitimate questions. And some of them he probably can't answer. You know, Ross Bjork did not sit at Hugh Freeze's press conference and say, well, if we look at, you know, page 186 of the phone records, you'll see, like, but there are other questions that don't get into the nitty gritty details that he needs to answer. And, you know, I think some people understand it and some people just won't. Some people want, you know, the amount of people that wanted full and complete transparency, the Ole Miss investigation, that now believe that there should be privacy in Mississippi State is not surprising, but it's interesting.
So there was no administrative response to that story at all yesterday?
No, not that I'm aware of.
They've just gone silent. It's bizarre. And
can they? I mean,
the only people at Mississippi State who have spoken about it are Gary Henderson and Jake Mangum.
And that was at Jackson State that night.
At Jackson State, which my original thing of like, listen, you should have had a press conference that day, even if you couldn't really say anything, even if it was only going to be 15 minutes because of how little you could say. If only for the fact that the next day you were playing a basketball game or a baseball game, excuse me, in Jackson, where you knew every one of your beat writers was going to be there and every TV camera in the state was also going to be there. And you set your, you know, interim head coach up to be the one that had to answer the questions, which just isn't fair to him. It isn't fair to your employee. Like beyond all like media want answers, it's just like it's a dick move to your employer, yeah. Employee.
I'm sure that you guys have sent them. What do you expect? I mean, is there anything that could surface in an FOI?
Yeah, there are several pending FOI requests.
That you think might actually lead to something.
Sunshine laws, as you know. Yeah, the Mississippi Sunshine Laws, as you know, they're okay, but they take their time.
Has anyone talked to Cannizzaro?
Not that I'm aware of. I know when it was all going down, his phone was off.
So here's what's funny about this. You know, John, always a little eccentric, but smart guy, handled everybody okay as the baseball coach, had been pretty good as an AD to this point. In your mind, does he just believe, hey, if I ride this out long enough, it will go away? And at this point, is that even maybe feasible after some extent, as bad of a PR look as it is?
Well, look, there's one outlet that wrote that story.
Yeah.
That's not a – right. I think that may be part of the strategy. And I think – you know, I think John has done some really good hires. I thought Joe Moorhead was a great football coach hire, unconventional, but he fits. You know, I gave John a lot of credit for making the decision to fire Andy when he did, because that couldn't have been an easy decision to let your coach go one weekend into the season. But transparency is not something that's important to him. You know, he's refused to release salary information for different coaches along the way and just doesn't believe, why do you need that? They'll release, you know, the amount that they get from the actual university, but they don't release the amount that they get from the Bulldog Foundation, which, you know, Ole Miss and pretty much every other school in the country routinely has. Just it's, you know, it's not a public record, but it is a public record.
Just correct me, help me here. I was in the spirit of full disclosure, I was reading, as you guys were talking, I was reading Antonio Morales' interview with Ross Bjork, so I might have missed something. Are you questioning the veracity of that story as it pertains to the affair?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, at this point, it's not even about the nitty-gritty or anything salacious. It's just about how does this affect your university moving forward, and then I would assume, when did you actually find out and what steps were taken? And it's something that you would think the stakeholders and the fan base wants to know. But in a lot of ways, a lot of those guys just, hey, let's batten down the hatches, get pitchforks out for anybody in the outside world and move on with our day.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what, you know, my biggest thing is, when did you know and what were the steps? You know, you want to know what was the process? Did you find out 2 weeks ago? Did you find out 3 months ago and you were told things are over, don't worry, and then maybe things didn't turn out that they were quite that over? You know, like, you just want to know that stuff. Yeah, and also just, you know, baseball's important at Mississippi State. They poured how many millions into that place, and how much time and energy did they spend on Andy Cannizzaro? Like, days before all of this happened, he was on, you know, Mississippi State Video Productions singing carpool karaoke and shooting three-pointers with Blair Schaefer.
All right. This is a little bit of a loaded question, so forgive me. In light of what is out there and being rumored, look, Dan Mullen had a lot of success at Mississippi State. I mean, a ton. He did a great job there on the field. In the wake of this story, is Mississippi State thankful that he is now the head coach at Florida? When I say Mississippi State, I'm talking about the administration, the people in the building in Starkville.
Mm. It makes things easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it could be kind of complicated, right?
Yeah. I don't know if thankful is the right word, but, you know, they seem –
relieved?
And I'll say, even before that, like, they seem okay in general. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of hurt feelings or resentment or anything that Dan left for Florida. Like, they, especially when they landed Moorhead, they moved on pretty quickly. But yeah, like, I definitely think there's like a, well, this could have been worse.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was kind of changing the subject. I wanted to media nerd for a second. I know you and I have talked about it a little bit off. What has kind of been the rise from a readership numbers-wise to this women's basketball thing? Because I kind of find it fascinating. I mean, in all seriousness, I know everybody loves winners, but is it sustainable over time? And is women's basketball the number two sport in Mississippi State?
No, I'd still say baseball is the number two.
Okay.
Like, consistently, probably. I think if you were over the next 5 years, baseball's probably still number two. But women's basketball, yeah, a lot of it is that people like a winner. What I think will be interesting is people really like this team. There's something about this group of girls that, because they've watched them now for 4 years, that they really like and they've gotten really invested in. And, you know, on signing day, and I told you this, Jace, but I haven't told you, Neil. On signing day, the number one story on our website was either Ole Miss or Mississippi State, the signing day central page. And number two was the other one. Number three was a story about a transfer from UConn women's basketball to Mississippi State.
No way.
Like, yeah. It wasn't close. Now, part of that is that there were no, like, big – you know, Fabian Lovett was, like, the closest thing to a big signing day decision. Like, that's part of it. But, like, and up. And that's been the difference we've seen year over year, is that, like, all of a sudden people are, like, caring about the roster. Right, it's not just like I'm watching Mississippi State. They're caring about specific players and what the makeup is. And, you know, we wrote stories about, you know, they redshirted freshman guard named Maya Taylor's our two-time female athlete of the year, and we wrote multiple stories about like when she was first told and when they made the decision and all that, and all of those did really well. People were interested.
Which means it's not just the, hey, the older people and the kids in Starkville that at least have some interest. I mean, that requires some level of statewide fan base appeal.
Yes. Yes, there is absolutely that there now where, you know, we traveled to a couple of road games this year. I don't know when we ever have – when Clarion Ledger has ever traveled for a women's basketball regular season road game, but, like, we did, and it was completely 100% justified.
If you're look, women's basketball's today, right? The tournament starts. Ole Miss loses to Florida this afternoon. Is that right? If you're Ross Bjork, when
I believe so.
If you're Ross Bjork, when that game's over, don't you? I mean, given what's happening across the state, don't you have to at least address it? And look, I'm sitting here reading. I'm reading me getting my ass kicked on the internet because this is a really comprehensive interview with Bjork by Antonio about the basketball search, and he at the very bottom he mentions the women. I haven't even read the answer yet, but if you're Ross, don't you have to counter this to some degree, or do you just go, hey, that belongs to them for now?
I think you do. Just personally, I think it's hard to run two coaching searches at one time, but I think you have to try to figure out how to do it because you're getting lapped behind. And at a certain level, like when they come to your place and the building is full of them, like, isn't that embarrassing?
Yeah, I just read his answers to Antonio's questions, and I'm now betting that he makes a change. It's a really good. I'm advertising that I got my ass kicked here. It's on clarionledger.com. at the very bottom, there's two women's basketball questions, and the answers are I think are telling. He talks about both programs are. This is again clarionledger.com. I'm giving credit where credit's due. Both programs are. I think this is Bjork talking. I think sustained. Based on momentum, and we need momentum. Hopefully we can gain that with a good run in the SEC tournament, at which point Morales says, will you evaluate Insel status after the season ends? And Bjork answers, quote, we definitely will, absolutely, end quote.
Hugh, where do you kind of stand? I mean, Neil and I have talked about this some. Where do you stand on evaluating your program versus the success of your rival in the state, and, like, you know, letting that kind of dictate when obviously there are similarities, but at the same time, not all programs are exactly equal with the two schools.
No, I think what Mississippi State women succeeding shows you is that you can succeed in this generation at women's basketball while recruiting primarily in the state of Mississippi. And, you know, and Vic also has done it, like, with – he's now recruiting off of the success, but he got these girls to buy in off of nothing. And I think, like, that's – if you're Matt Insel, that's the worry, right? Is that, like, Ross sits down and goes, like, so what did I not give you that Vic Schaefer got? Like, you just decided that the 5-foot – 8-point guard wasn't good enough for you. Well, she beat UConn. You know, you couldn't get in the game for Victoria Vivian's. You didn't want to be in the game for Maya Taylor. There's a 5-star girl down at St. Martin that's committed to Mississippi State for next year. Like, how come our roster looks like this and their roster looks like that? That's the problem, and I think where it's a fair comparison. Because, I mean, if you're going to say that Andy Kennedy needed to win because he got a new arena, Matt Insel got a new arena too.
I mean, at one point, I believe Ole Miss had a series record lead on state of like 52-1. They were the team with the banners.
Right.
Yeah, they had a couple of coaches that have had success.
And it's now not close. I went to the game in Starkville, and Ole Miss was never competitive, and people were at the game, basically, like, the amount of people that were just catcalling Matt Insel from the sideline was fascinating. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it's barely a rivalry in women's, you know, if, you know, it's a rivalry because it's Ole Miss, but, like, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, those are the games to get hyped for.
Anyway.
Last thing, we've kept you a long time. Real quick, Ole Miss started spring football yesterday. I don't know state schedule. I'm sure it's somewhere around that. What do they start next week? Is that right?
No, Joe Moorhead apparently thinks he's still at Penn State. They don't start spring until March 20th.
Oh, wow. I wrote about Matt. I wrote about how this is his kind of his first real opportunity on the field to sort of put his stamp on the program. He sort of agreed with that question yesterday. I think there were other people working on a similar story. It's spring football. I get it. State, obviously, it's a new coach. It's far more interesting in terms of they're trying to get a lot done, new systems and all that stuff. What are you looking for out of both of those programs going into the spring?
Yeah, I think for Ole Miss first, a lot of it is that. And it's been this since the day that Matt Luke got the permanent job. It is how does Matt Luke's Ole Miss actually look different than Hugh Freeze's Ole Miss, other than who's in the coach's office? Because it's largely the same staff and assistant coaches and players and, you know, recruits. And so I think it's, you know, now that it's Matt's and now that they have a full off season, you know, how does Phil Longo's offense change? Does it have short, you know, power yardage plays in it now? Does it have a screen or something in it? And defense, you want to see some improvement because it's largely going to be the same guys that played last year. So it's going to be, can they develop them into being something more than they were, which wasn't good enough to win a lot of games that they otherwise could have won last season? And yeah, for State, it's you know, the Nick Fitzgerald things out there, you know, will he practice, how much he practices? He probably shouldn't practice. And so I think that changes a lot of what spring looks like anytime you don't have your starting quarterback. But, you know, that defense is yet again under a new defensive coordinator. And, you know, what do they, you know, what does Bob Shoop do with that group? Because he has some pieces like Jeffrey Simmons and some Montez Sweat and some guys on the defensive line. Like, he has some weapons that he didn't have at Tennessee.
Oh, no, they should be really good on defense, especially front seven. They're loaded.
Yeah. The problem is that their three best wide receivers are a JUCO kid and two, you know, guys that were high school seniors last fall.
Yeah, it's not good. Well, hey, we've kept you a long time. I know you got meetings and all sorts of convention stuff to do since you're a big shot now. So we'll let you go.
And you, that's not the case.
We'll let you go, and we'll talk to you soon. Send Antonio on a vacation for a while. Get rid of him. Say, hey, go out to California and hang for a couple months.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks to Hugh for giving us a lot of time this morning. The podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs there in Holly Springs. You can find them online at TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321 to fill out the form to get the sildenafil and other options. Also, they deliver to you wherever you are. Now, those same people also own G&M Pharmacy in Oxford on South Lamar. Great local service, a name you can trust, and they deliver local currently in the Oxford area. So again, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss football practice at 11 a.m. in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. It's open to the public. Attendees are asked to enter on the west side of the stadium. Ole Miss basketball Saturday night, senior night, the regular season finale. Ole Miss and Vanderbilt game tips at 7:30 at the Pavilion at Ole Miss. Tickets available at olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with a personal touch. OUB also offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa.
And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees are nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Worth noting here, I mean, obviously we don't know who the coach is going to be. We don't know what next year looks like. And there'll be a surprise if it's a tournament contender in any way. But I was just thinking about this, Neil. They won't have a Big 12 game next year because they finished bottom four in the conference. So first time Ole Miss has had to deal with that, they will not be a part of the SEC Big 12 challenge.
Yeah, they'll have to schedule somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, who knows? I'm just...
Hey, just kind of remarkable how much they fell this year. Vanderbilt, too. Two teams that I think will...
Vanderbilt was in the tournament last year.
Yeah, two teams that I think will look at each other on Saturday night and go, how do we get here? Ole Miss will play in St. Louis a week from today, week from tonight.
A day after Papa John's is kicked out of the NFL, Pizza Hut, now the official pizza of the National Football League. Didn't take long to get that done.
Almost like something was in the works.
Think so? You don't think late yesterday they decided to start talking and come up with a contract that would make sense for both sides?
I mean, I guess it was possible. I'd bet against it.
Fast food pizza, what do you got? Or the chains, whatever.
I like Pizza Hut's thin crust of the chains.
Pizza, yeah, I mean, Pizza Hut thin crust meat lovers is pretty good.
It's pretty solid.
It's all right. For that level of pizza, pretty good. Not bad.
I even like the Supreme with no mushrooms. And I also will say no peppers because they'll throw too many peppers on there.
You're a no mushrooms guy on pizza?
I don't really like mushroom on pizza.
See, I don't like them anywhere but pizza.
Really?
I'm good with them on pizza. Now, I'm not going to go to a jar and just eat them out of the cabinet or anything, but yeah, if they're on pizza, I'm okay.
Campbell loves mushrooms. Just
in general?
Just in general. She'll get me to grill portobellos and stuff for her. It's just not my thing.
Really? See, yeah. I'm not into that.
No, I'm not into it at all.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not like grossed out by them or anything, but I don't like them.
This is kind of interesting here. The partnership could eventually include a less traditional content play. More than half of Pizza Hut orders now take place without the customer calling the phone. 70% of online orders are placed via mobile, an industry high. So 70% mobile, and more than half now they do not call and place the order. You do it online.
I do everything online with that. Pay online, everything.
I have to call if I want delivery because online they won't recognize my address because I'm just a little far out. But if you call, they'll typically say okay.
Just but if that were available to you, you'd do straight online, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I order like Landshark delivery a good bit. It's more expensive, but depending on the day and just needing something at the time with my schedule, yeah.
I think I'm the only person in Oxford that's never used that.
Have you not?
Yeah. It's not because any personal reason. I'm not a big food delivery person.
If you can go get it, it's cheaper. Yeah. I would assume. Now, I have no idea how much I spend on gas traveling in town and stuff. I'm not even going to think about that. But I do notice that it gets a little expensive depending on what you're ordering. It's in bulk, it's not bad. But one or two items, it's kind of stupid because of delivery fees and different things. But it's handy. I like having the option if I so choose.
Yeah, I don't know why. We've never used it. We're just not – we don't do a lot of that, like ordering food.
Yeah. Just thought.
Especially now because Campbell's doing – like evaluating every
– calorie that goes in her body?
Everything, yes.
Well, like in college, I had a lot of Papa John's when I had pizza. I've never really been a huge – I got to have pizza all the time guy, but – we would eat Papa John's because they were really smart. They'd put a coupon that you could clip out in the DM every day, and it was like, buy one large, get one large free. Well, I mean, you got a bunch of dudes over at apartments at night just kind of hanging out, and the DM sitting there, that's pretty handy a lot of times. So I'm sure they got a lot of play out of that. But I haven't seen that in a while. I haven't noticed where that's still available. But Papa John's is okay. Domino's is the only one I really don't like from a national fast food type pizza chain.
Yeah. And if we do pizza, we typically what's the one the one over there off the square? God, I'm
Dodo's.
Dodo's. We'll do that sometimes. It's a little pricey.
I think Funky's and Lost are both on Landshark.
Funky's is really good. It really is. I know we're friends with Lee, and we're saying everybody thinks we're just saying that for a reason. But their pizza is really good. That meat pizza that they have is fantastic.
It is good. Yeah.
I like Lost Pizza. It's good.
It's a little, to me, it kind of, you know, it's thicker. It's kind of heavy. It yeah. just sort of howled me a little bit. It's kind of the equivalent of when, like, if you went to Ajax and had something off the menu, it just kind of, ugh, a little yeah. bit when you're done. But
I like Lost because it's easy for me to drop Carson off at soccer and run back to Lost and sit up at the bar and work like I did last night.
Uh-huh.
I worked at Lost and had a beer.
Did you really?
Had one beer, worked at Lost, went back and got Carson.
Okay.
I listened to Ole Miss baseball on the way to and from.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So I heard some of it, and then I heard some of it. So I'm glad they're there. So I support them. Because I used to have to drive all the way out to, like, Jackson Avenue.
Well, like, we'll have this conversation, and every time I'll get an email or a Twitter thing and come at me and go, you didn't mention St. Leo, and I'm like, that's not chain pizza. Not the same.
No,
that's a whole different category than what we're talking about. Hey,
let me get on the record.
Pizza Hut's not going to offer burrata and sopressata. No. I mean, like, that's not really.
Let me get on the record. St. Leo is my favorite place in town.
It is. You're a very St. Leo advocate.
I love St. Leo. I don't really like talking about it because I don't want all of you cramming in there and preventing me from being able to get my seat at the bar when I go.
Yeah, you don't need the Yogi Bear thing. Nobody ever goes. It's too crowded.
Yeah. I'm sure that the people that run St. Leo are like, well, I wouldn't mind you saying it. There we should go. It's awesome. I love it. I've yet to have anything resembling an average meal there.
Yeah, it's
everything
good.
I've ever eaten there is fantastic.
It's good.
That white bean appetizer.
Hey, you're bigger on that than I am. Oh, I'm not as high on that.
I love it.
I loved the jalapeno broth clams, and they're actually off the menu now. They've taken.
I've never had that.
Yeah, it was clams that were steamed and then put in this, like, jalapeno broth stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, they're gone for the winter months.
I hate that I missed that.
Yeah, it's okay. Just throwing it out there. But all right. Let's see. Anything else? I don't think so, really. I'm trying to look at my little rundown here. Yeah, Ole Miss. Remember the time changes? Just kind of a warning for everybody. I've heard some people ask what time the games are. The game's Fridays at 6 o'clock Pacific, so 8 o'clock local for Ole Miss and Long Beach State. They have a stream. It appears to work. I know some people watched Arizona State. I heard the sight lines aren't good. Somebody said that they think they – just took a handheld and taped it to a broomstick and held it up behind home plate. But there is a stream. Also, be aware that a lot of times when Ole Miss goes to West Coast programs or smaller programs and they have streams, those streams crash because they are not built for the amount of people that typically are logging in to watch an Ole Miss baseball game. So we'll see. I have a hunch that it's not going to go well, but that's nothing against Long Beach. It's just in the past – those systems are not built for the type of traffic that they're going to hit on Friday night.
Yeah, people are going to get frustrated. And
it's going to buffer a little bit. The SEC Network is not backing Long Beach's baseball broadcasts,
yeah.
So it's just different. It
you
is
should,
what it
you
is.
You should prepare yourself emotionally for
you
that.
Should feel good about your own situation is what you should do. You should.
It shows you why the 14 SEC jobs are all top 20 jobs.
Yeah.
Even the bad ones are potentially good jobs.
Yeah.
Even Missouri, Tennessee, those jobs, right guy comes in, all of a sudden, those are good jobs.
Yeah, so there's a stream.
The top 10 SEC jobs are top 15 national jobs. I'm just telling you, when every game can be seen, what a recruiting tool.
Yeah, every home game.
And then every conference game, because when you go on the conference, those games are on TV too.
Mm-hmm.
So at least – at the bare minimum, 40-something of your games are on essentially national television.
If he keeps this up, he's probably going to have a pretty nice season. Ryan Rollison currently leading the SEC with 18.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. That'll play. So, all right, be back tomorrow. We're going to have our typical chat with Jeffrey. As I mentioned yesterday, we'll get a look at his love life heading into the coming weekend. And more. So appreciate you listening. Check rebelgrove.com, and we'll talk to you then.